This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Declaring a national emergency. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, February 15. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A spending bill to keep the government open is expected to get President Trump's signature, but he'll also announce a national emergency to get more border wall funding.
After resistance from local politicians, Amazon is dropping plans for a second headquarters in New York, taking thousands of jobs with it.
A finance columnist is making the case that the Green New Deal is a wish list of left-wing government fantasies. He's here in about 7 minutes.
And two things to look for in a partner that lead to happy relationships.
This is a big study out of Michigan State University. They looked at 2,500 couples who've been married for about 20 years, some more, some less. This is a big study we're talking about, right? One of the things that I just loved about this is that they found that one of the secrets to being in a happy relationship is to find a kind person.
Katie Hill at MarketWatch on personality traits that support strong marriages. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump plans to sign a spending bill that keeps the government open and will then declare a national emergency to seek more border wall funding. The House and Senate both passed the $333 billion spending bill yesterday. It includes $1.38 billion in funding for 55 new miles of physical barriers, far less than the $5.7 billion Mr. Trump had asked for. Declaring an emergency could potentially enable the president to shift money from either military construction or funding from the Army Corps of Engineers to build more border barriers. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is opposed.
The president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey. Just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people.
Democrats said they would challenge any efforts to move money around without congressional approval, including possibly filing a lawsuit. The White House said Mr. Trump is scheduled to make remarks about border security at 10 a.m. today. New York City officials are saying no to $2.5 billion in investment and 25,000 new jobs. Their opposition to Amazon's building of a second headquarters in the borough of Queens led the company yesterday to announce it's taking its plans elsewhere. Detractors, including some state and city elected officials, opposed things like tax breaks and Amazon's anti-union position. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
New York City gave Amazon a real opportunity here. And all we asked was that they be a good neighbor and be part of the community. And clearly, they weren't ready to do that.
Earlier this week, Amazon touted polls showing the majority of New Yorkers supported the new headquarters, and its executives continue to meet with local and state officials. With the search, Amazon said it had hoped to tap the New York area talent pool and help local economies. Now it says it will shop for a new city and instead would add jobs in other offices around the country, including Seattle. Plans for a second headquarters in Northern Virginia, by the way, are on track. The Senate has confirmed William Barr as Attorney General. Mr. Barr, who served in the same position for 2 years in the early 90s for President George H.W. Bush, was sworn in during a White House ceremony yesterday. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Three Democratic senators, Doug Jones of Alabama, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, joined Republicans in the vote to confirm. Rand Paul of Kentucky was the only Republican to vote no. Among Mr. Barr's first challenges, deciding whether to release the findings of the Mueller probe. In his confirmation hearing, Mr. Barr vowed to bring as much transparency as possible to those findings, but he stopped short of promising to release the special counsel's final report. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Republicans have been eager to install Mr. Barr, given the short but controversial tenure of acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker, who replaced the ousted Jeff Sessions. The Wall Street Journal says Mr. Barr intends to ask Jeffrey Rosen, the Deputy Secretary of Transportation, to be his Deputy Attorney General. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
I used to have a sweet tooth. had it removed when I was a kid. So what do I crave instead of chocolate? A big red box from Grainger. Grainger satisfies my craving for great customer service with 24/7 support, effortless ordering, and same-day pickup or next-day delivery options. No busy signals, no cavities. I love Grainger. You know why? Because when it comes to reliable product and technical support, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. The Green New Deal is a wish list of left-wing government fantasies, including many that have nothing to do with environmental protection. So says senior columnist Rick Newman at Yahoo Finance. Rick, explain.
Well, Trump described the so-called Green New Deal as akin to a bad high school paper. And I actually think he's right about that. I've read the Green New Deal. I think anybody who's interested in this topic should read it. It's getting a lot of attention. And basically what the Green New Deal says is there should be a massive government effort to fund research into all kinds of alternative energy sources. And more than that, we should also have universal health care paid for by the government. We should have job security financed by the government, and every American should have access to the outdoors. There are about 30 other things in there, because it's really just a grab bag of leftist ideas that strays pretty far from its actual intent when you look at the thing in its entirety. I mean, look, this is supposed to be an effort to address global warming, which is undoubtedly a real thing that requires action. But this legislation would do that and so many other things, and it would probably cost trillions of dollars. I mean, there's no effort to say here's how much it would all cost or here's where the money would come from. But we know that universal health care alone, single-payer health care, costs something like $3 trillion a year, and that's just an afterthought in this deal. So I think by trying to be everything to the left wing of the Democratic Party, it ends up being absolutely nothing at all.
You said the Green New Deal ought to be as quickly forgotten as a quickly forgotten freshman mistake, but it won't be. How come?
Because it's getting a lot of co-sponsors in both the House and the Senate. It has now sort of become the centerpiece of Democratic discussion on what to do about climate change. And I think this is a giant mistake. I think this actually could even harm the effort to address climate change, because it just completely overlooks, for starters, what might be some practical and doable steps based on, work that's already been done. I mean, and I'll give you a couple examples of that. So everybody knows that when he became president, President Trump withdrew the United States from the Paris Climate Agreement. That's dozens of countries all agreeing to find new ways to do something about global warming and about climate change. Well, there's no mention of that in the Green New Deal. And it seems like if you're serious about addressing climate change, the very first thing you would do is say, let's rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement. Here's another example. One proven way to reduce pollution and everything associated with it, which includes greenhouse gases, is to institute carbon taxes. This is not a leftist idea at all. It's actually a centrist idea. It actually started with some conservatives 20 or 30 years ago who said, how can we create market incentives to reduce pollution in the most efficient and cheapest way possible, and came with this idea of carbon taxes. This actually has worked when it's been used regionally. It has worked in Europe where some governments use it. There's buy-in. The center-left agrees on this, the center-right agrees on this, and yet no mention of carbon taxes, which is probably the most immediate doable thing we could do to address climate change. Instead, you just get all this rhetoric about how taxpayers should fund some new cut types of energy that don't exist yet, and we should just completely shut down the fossil fuel industry within 10 years. I mean, it's completely unrealistic, which means we're just going to be chasing out rainbows here.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. He's written a piece entitled Trump is Right About the Green New Deal. What does the president do with this politically, by the way, besides serve it up like some fungo ball?
Well, he uses it to bash Democrats. He tries to smear the entire party and everybody who might be a potential presidential candidate running against him with the work of this one brand new member of Congress who isn't even old enough to run for president, by the way. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, AOC, who drafted this. But, you know, she got a Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts. He's been there. He's been in Congress for decades. She got him to co-sponsor it. And there are already dozens of senators and representatives, Democrats, all of them, who are co-sponsoring this.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump will sign a border security compromise that would avert a second government shutdown, but a new confrontation has been ignited over Trump's plan to bypass lawmakers and declare a national emergency to siphon billions from other federal coffers for his border wall. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I don't believe that there's any good faith negotiations to have with the Republicans in Congress if they're going to support the president doing an end run about what the will of the people, the Congress of the United States, has put forth.
If Trump declares an emergency to build the wall, the administration could pull from disaster funds, counter-narcotic accounts, and military construction projects. One possibility is shifting a portion of the $13 billion in disaster aid Congress approved last year for Puerto Rico and a dozen states. Mourners in Parkland, Florida, gathered yesterday to commemorate the first anniversary of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School that left 17 people dead. Broward County School Superintendent Robert Runcie called for a day of love and service.
This was a day for them to connect what they're learning into real relevance in real life. So, you know, they read a lot about history. Today, our students are making history.
Events including art displays, tree plantings, and candlelight vigils honored those who died. The massacre spawned a nationwide student-led movement calling for stricter gun controls. A 31-year-old man who fended off and suffocated a mountain lion when it attacked him on a Colorado jogging trail last week described how he killed the animal by stepping on its throat during a life-and-death struggle. Speaking for the first time publicly since the February 4th incident, Travis Kaufman described for reporters the harrowing three-minute encounter.
I stopped and I threw my hands up in the air and I started shouting. And unfortunately, the shouts didn't deter it. So it just kind of kept running and lunged at me.
Kaufman says his attempts to halt the attack by stabbing the mountain lion with sticks and hitting it on the head with a rock were to no avail. Ultimately, he was able to pin the animal down and put his foot on its neck and choke it.
What?
I know. This story was just crazy from the beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
Scary.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us. It pays to be kind. One of the secrets to being happy in a relationship is finding a kind person, according to recent research. Insight from Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, what are we learning?
Right, so this is a big study out of Michigan State University. They looked at 2,500 couples who've been married for about 20 years, some more, some less. This is a big study we're talking about, right? One of the things that I just loved about this is that they found that one of the secrets to being in a happy relationship is to find a kind person. I know that it's just sweet. Like, you know, look for somebody who's nice. And they really define nice as two things, someone who's conscientious and someone who's agreeable. So that's what they sort of said that's what they meant when they said nice. But that is a huge key to being in a happy relationship. I think a lot of people are maybe attracted to someone who's, you know, not quite so nice, or, you know, they're chasing someone hard to get who's not that kind to them. That isn't going to lead to long-term happiness. It's someone who's conscientious and someone who's agreeable. You know, being conscientious, right? It speaks to, you know, being a good partner and responsible, of someone who's going to remember your birthday, doing things that you ask. And then agreeableness, yeah, I mean, it's just you're not aggressive, you're considerate. So those are what you're looking for in a partner. And it sounds simple, but I think people forget it.
Agreeable can also be loosely translated as you do what she says. And I find...
You know what? I'm not complaining when that happens.
That's made my life immeasurably easier.
That's right. Nobody complains about that.
It can go too far, though, right? I mean, nobody wants a pushover. Well, I guess most people don't want a pushover either. That can't be healthy.
100%. You can be agreeable and still stick up for yourself. And I'm sure that is what they, you know, they didn't ask to that granular level, but I'm sure that's what, you know, they found in the study as well.
We've done, while I'm thinking about this, sort of like our own scientific experiments in the house where, like, my kids are teenagers, so any new, like, boyfriend or girlfriend who comes in and bends down to say hello to the dogs,
Good.
It's often a good sign. Like, well, that person cares, right? You know, they're kind to animals. You know, probably that translates to humans. But
you know what? I don't think that's a bad test at all. I'm gonna enact that in my own house when the time comes.
What else do we learn from this?
So the other flip side of this is what makes people unhappy in relationships. Being with someone who is neurotic, and also this surprised the researchers and also surprised me, and they don't know why, and more extroverted. So those were the two qualities in partners that actually related to lower relationship satisfaction. Neurotic really does make sense, right? You're going to make a mountain out of a molehill. You might be fighting more. You know, neurotic people tend to be a little more on edge. That's not great for a relationship, but they don't know why extroversion predicted it. But they did say this. The effect was very small. So focus more on the fact that a super neurotic person is probably not going to make you happy in the long term.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your info. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Gordon. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome to Friday, February 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The president expected to declare a national emergency to get more funding for a border wall. Amazon cancels plans for a second headquarters in New York. No announcements from the U.S. or China after trade talks ended in Beijing today. Mudslide fears in Southern California after drenching rains. Local media in Chicago say actor Jussie Smollett may have staged his alleged attack that he blamed on Trump supporters. And the middle school students' big effort on Valentine's Day. That story in about 20 minutes. Last year, 51 children died of vehicular heat stroke in the U.S., an unsettling record that comes as efforts to prevent hot car deaths have escalated. Heat stroke is the leading cause of non-crash vehicular deaths for children younger than 15, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Most of the deaths, an annual average of 38, are caused when children are unknowingly left in a car. How is the number rising in the midst of so many awareness campaigns? Here's Ellen Byron, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, what's with these disheartening numbers?
This just was confirmed last month. There were two cases from July that were confirmed to be hot car deaths, and unfortunately that made last year the worst on record as far as children dying after being left in cars. And again, as you say, this is really disheartening considering how many different efforts, from education to new gadgets to car makers installing new reminder systems, all in efforts to try to stop this.
It seemed, if I read between the lines, that some blame, at least by somebody or entity, was being placed on the fact that car seats, at least for babies, face backwards in the back seat, so parents can't necessarily see them all the time. Not that I'm giving parents a break here necessarily for forgetting, but is that part of this?
Yes, this is part of it. So this really wasn't an issue until the mid-90s when states started passing laws requiring parents to put their car seats in the back seat. And that was so that children wouldn't get hurt from passenger airbags. And so when that happened, these instances of hot car deaths of children increased dramatically. And it's especially difficult with rear facing car seats, which is what children under the age of 2 are recommended to use, because the parent, the driver, no longer sees the child. And there is research underway, and some that's already happened, explaining how parents can lose awareness of a child. And it's been explained to me along the lines of, have you ever gotten in your car and it's Saturday morning? You don't normally work on Saturday morning, but you automatically drive to the office, or you do some other thing by routine. Well, probably the most tragic version of that is driving, let's say, directly to a destination and forgetting that your child is in the backseat, losing awareness. And that is the instance in more than half of these cases.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ellen Byron, Wall Street Journal reporter. Her story is entitled, Despite Prevention Efforts, Hot Car Casualties Are Rising. All right, so explain now, I guess, in response to this, what some of these car makers are doing, like GM. I think you referenced Nissan in there. What's happening?
Yes. So both of those car makers and others have installed different reminder systems. And so you will get a visual cue on your dashboard if the car sequencing doesn't necessarily line up. For example, if at the beginning of the trip the car door opens and then at the end of the trip it does not open again, there's different ways that this car door sequencing works, but there are versions that show a reminder on the dashboard as well as chirping if the driver walks away from the car without, again, opening the rear doors. And those are gradually becoming standard on four-door cars. And so we'll be seeing much more of that. And then there's also child safety advocacy groups such as kidsincars.org that is working to push efforts to require car makers to install some kind of technology. And that group argues, for example, that we have so many reminders already in our cars. Why not have this one too?
Thanks, Ellen. Ellen Byron, Wall Street Journal reporter. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. FMLA, FLSA, ACA, EEOC. It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they're applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Thanks for spending time with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. Mike Gavin can be found at Radio Gavin 1.
Standing by for your follows.
Ready to interact. You can follow me as well at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, big news this morning as we have what could be the start of an American epidemic. No, we're not talking about the flu or another contagious disease. The epidemic we're talking about is doorbell licking. Oh. You might remember the story we told you about in early January of a California man who was recorded on surveillance video licking a doorbell for 3 hours. Now we seem to have a copycat on our hands, this time in Florida. Local TV reports that a man in Lake Worth was recorded in late January doing much the same thing, licking things at the front door. Besides licking the doorbell over and over again, the man is also seen putting a stack of newspapers in front of the camera and pointing toward them. It's unclear what he was trying to show his audience in the grainy surveillance video.
Is this something that you do on your own, or can this be done as a group?
It seems to be a solo activity at this point.
Okay.
But again, the way these things work, we have copycats.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point we might get multiple people showing up to do this kind of thing.
Because I was just explaining to Mike off the air, a good friend of mine is hosting dinner tonight. He's cooking,
right,
and his oven has broken, so he's altering the menu. And I was thinking, if things don't work out, maybe just as a group, this handful of couples getting together, we could just go lick doorbells.
Yes.
I just didn't know if it was a group thing or a solo thing, but it appears to be just a solo thing.
Yes, yes. That does sound like the start of a great group activity.
Yeah.
Perhaps maybe there'll be classes, you know,
right,
we can sort of get together with a bunch of couples.
Yes,
and
so you don't spread germs or whatever.
Learn
and sanitize
how to best do this.
The doorbell
yeah.
first.
Yeah. Do it in a safe way.
What are we doing today? I don't know. What are you You guys want to go lick some doorbells? Sure, let's grab a pizza. And a,
yeah, yeah. Oh,
this that is so bizarre.
Perhaps there. Yeah, clean off your tongue first before you eat the pizza. And with Valentine's Day officially in the rearview mirror, Gordon, and President's Day not much of an eating holiday, it's time for those of us looking for oddly colored holiday-themed food to turn our attention to St. Patrick's Day. McDonald's has done just that and once again brought back the Shamrock Shake. The chain announced the return of the thick green concoction in a news release. They also went on to vaguely describe the shake's ingredients in case you might think it could be made with honest-to-goodness shamrocks. Creamy, dreamy vanilla soft serve blended with Shamrock Shake syrup and topped with delicious whipped topping, they wrote, though I don't know if that's going to be detailed enough for those concerned with healthy eating. Mm. Twitter users had mixed feelings about the return of the Shamrock Shake season, with some rejoicing and others recoiling. Some users pined for another one of McDonald's seasonal delicacies, the McRib, instead. Not all restaurants are offering the shakes, however, so if you're pro Shamrock Shake, McDonald's suggested customers use the Shamrock Shake Finder in its app to confirm which restaurants are currently offering the treat.
Like you said, I don't know if that's enough detail for those concerned with healthy eating. Why is the Shamrock Shake like on the healthy eating portion of the menu? Is
yeah,
that why?
But they're probably not going in the first place. We understand that. I have never had a Shamrock Shake before. There are people that we know, you and I know, in the radio business, who go bonkers when the Shamrock Shake arrives. They're over my Facebook page talking about how much they're excited about the Shamrock Shake. I've never had one. I've also only had the McRib, I think, maybe once ever. So I guess the seasonal McDonald's foods are just not in my radar.
Is McDonald's a bring your own? Technically, because what I'm thinking is,
I think I know what you're thinking.
You could dress up that Shamrock Shake a little bit, a little shot of rum, maybe some Baileys or something. Right?
I mean, that's it's not in the description, but it is wintertime, big coats. I'm sure you could bring in something if you needed to.
And I don't want to set the internet on fire,
right?
But what if you were to pair that Shamrock Shake with a McRib?
You do love your pairings.
You can't even wrap your mind around that. I know. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says this season's flu vaccine is a good match for the virus strains that are in circulation. That helps explain the lower severity of the season. It's a welcome relief from last year. The agency yesterday said the interim estimate of the flu vaccine's effectiveness against the H1N1 influenza strain was 47%. For context, at this time last year, the effectiveness was just 36%. It's difficult to assess the severity of the flu season while in the midst of it, but researchers believe that this milder flu season is due in part to the increased effectiveness. So far, the flu season looks nothing like last year, one of the worst in decades, when close to 50 million people caught flu and 80,000 died. Currently, the CDC estimates there have been close to 16,000 deaths between October and February this time. There have also been fewer outpatient visits for influenza-like illness, fewer hospitalizations, and fewer deaths attributed to pneumonia and influenza. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Congress has approved a border security compromise that would avert a second government shutdown, but a new confrontation has been ignited, this time over President Trump's plan to bypass lawmakers and declare a national emergency to siphon billions from other federal accounts for his wall on the Mexican border. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump. And he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time.
Trump's move is prompting condemnation from Democrats and threats of lawsuits from states and others who might lose federal money or said the president is abusing his authority. Amazon has abandoned its $2.5 billion plan to build a New York City headquarters, undoing one of the country's biggest economic development deals because it said it was troubled by growing political opposition. One of the most vocal opponents was New York State Senator Michael Giannaris.
Amazon is the biggest corporation in the country, with the richest man on earth as its head. They did not need our $3 billion. They just chose to try and shake us down for it.
The move reverses Amazon's year-long sweepstakes that sparked bids from more than 200 cities around the country. The company says it will not look for an alternate city and instead will add jobs in other offices around the country, including Seattle. The Senate has confirmed William Barr as Attorney General, putting the veteran of corporate and Washington legal circles in charge of a Justice Department that's been rocked by departures, political storms, and the special counsel's Russia investigation. Three Democrats joined Republicans in the 54-45 vote to confirm Barr. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was the sole Republican no vote. Don't spend that hefty tax refund just yet. For the second week, the average refund and total amount of refunds issued are down. The IRS says the average refund in the week ended last Friday was $1,949, down 8.7% from a year ago. Total refunds to date are down 23% from last year.
All right. Thank you, Jen. A group of middle school boys in Kansas wanted to make sure Valentine's Day was special for every girl in their school, so they gave all of them a flower. USA Today says it happened at Summit Trail Middle School in Olathe, Kansas, with pictures on social media showing the grinning boys holding a bucket of bright pink carnations. Dozens of girls are also pictured posing with their flowers. The boys' generosity was a carefully planned effort. Principal Sarah Guerrero says one of the boys approached her with the idea a few weeks ago. She says an eighth grader and two other boys arranged the funding and used some of their own money to buy the flowers. They carefully planned how they would distribute the gifts at various school doors yesterday, doing their best to make sure no one was skipped. They distributed the flowers with words of encouragement, too. The experience made Ms. Guerrero feel like the school, which is in its first year, has built a sense of community. She said it made her feel as if the school has now become a family. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.